Hebrews chapter number 3, if you would. Hebrews chapter number 3. Now, Hebrews chapter number 3 is a passage that has perplexed me for years. I remember getting saved and reading through the entire Bible and coming to passages like Hebrews 3, and it's just like, I don't know what it means. You know, and obviously you understand that the Bible does not teach you to lose your salvation. We know that for a fact, okay? You can't lose your salvation. It's impossible to lose. But I like what Brother Milan said. You run into passages, and it's just like it messes with the narrative of the story of the Bible. It's like you come on, it's like, man, that doesn't go along with what everything else I'm reading. Why is that? Now, let me just sidetrack here and say this. Anytime you run into a passage like that, don't get scared. Amen. Don't start panicking. Just keep reading. Amen. And say, well, don't understand it, but maybe one day I will. Amen. Okay? And say, God, open down mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I'm going to accept this passage by faith and believe what it's saying, even though I don't necessarily understand it. And guess what? Maybe you're not ready to get that truth as of yet.
Yeah.
You know, maybe God's like, you know, I'm not going to reveal that unto you as of yet. You know, you're not mature enough. You're not old enough to understand those passages. But later on, as you read more passages, you'll come to an understanding of it. That's why I love the Bible.
Amen.
Okay? Because the Bible is inexhaustible. The more you read it, the more you learn. You can never get to a point where you just know everything.
Amen.
You know? And I remember getting this, understanding this passage on the airplane on the way to Phoenix. And I was thinking to myself, wow, God is good. That's so awesome. The Holy Spirit is at work. He's teaching me the word of God. And it's just like, there it is. Now let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse number 1. It says here, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession in Christ Jesus. Now let me say this. There are a lot of people who say that Hebrews was not written to save people. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard something like that. People will say, no, it's written to Hebrews, but it's not necessarily written to Christians, to save people. It says holy brethren.
Right.
When have you ever seen anybody call an unsaved person a holy brethren? You know, maybe in John Nelson Darby's Bible, you know, where he says all kinds of crazy stuff. But not here. It says holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Verse 2, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as his servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. Verse 6 is the verse that really perplexed me for years. It says, but Christ is the son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. And I remember reading that, thinking to myself, whoa, hold on a second. What do you mean I have to hold it firm unto the end? You know, that kind of sounds like, you know, and obviously I was saved when I read this. And I just said, you know what? I know the rest of the Bible doesn't teach you have to work your way to heaven or do anything like that. I just don't know what this means. But God, I'm just going to trust you and I'm just going to forget about it. And I remember throughout the years, I'd go back to it. I tried to understand it, couldn't understand it. Now, what does that mean? If we hold fast, because obviously that's the condition, right? The confidence and the rejoicing and the hope firm unto the end. Now, go to Luke chapter 14. Well, first and foremost, in Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 19, it says, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So we understand this is that salvation is like an anchor of the soul. Both sure and steadfast, okay? What does that mean? Well, an anchor digs deep into the ocean floor and it makes sure the boat, though it's swayed left and right a little bit, does not move very far, okay?
Yep. Yeah.
So God is telling us, hey, salvation is like that anchor. It's an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. You'll never lose it, okay? I will never leave you nor forsake you. And all the verses that talk about that. He says, so what does it say then? Then why is the condition if we hold fast the confidence with rejoicing? Firm into the end. Well, if you think about it, we're not commanded to rejoice to be saved or to have confidence to be saved, you know, firm into the end. Think about that, right? But secondly, what we build doesn't determine our salvation.
Amen.
It's what we lay as a foundation that determines our foundation. Because Jesus Christ is the foundation.
Amen.
Anything that's built thereupon is the works that we do for the Lord. It's the things we do for God. And in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, what does it say? If any man build thereupon gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Gold, silver, and precious stones are those things that are of quality. Things that cannot be burned up. Things that will last. Things that they have quality to them. Whereas wood, hay, and stubble, man, you can burn those things really fast. So that which we build upon that foundation is not a picture of our salvation. It's a picture of our works, Amen. The things we do for God. And look, there's a lot of people out there that are working for God, but you know what it is? They're not necessarily doing quality work.
Right.
And you know what they're producing? Wood, hay, stubble.
Yep.
Things that will ultimately, at the judgment seat of Christ, will burn. Okay, right. It's going to burn. It's not going to count for anything. And they're going to be saved, yet so as by fire, as the Bible says. You know, I want to make sure they're going to suffer loss. I want to make sure that whatever I build, it lasts forever.
Amen.
I want to make sure that it's gold, silver, and precious stones, things that can withstand the test of our Lord Jesus Christ at the judgment seat. Now, look at Luke chapter 14, verse 27, and tell me if this sounds similar to this. Because remember, Hebrews 3 says this, if we hold fast, you know, the confidence with rejoicing, firm until when? Until the end.
Yep.
Now look what Luke 14, 27 says, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, why haply? After he hath laid the foundation, who's the foundation? Jesus Christ. And is not able to finish, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. You see, what it's talking about right there is this matter of living for the Lord and working for God. Yeah. You know, happily we lay the foundation, we get saved. But you know what? What you build there upon, those are the works you do. And you know what you have? We have the world, we have the flesh, we have the devil, but we also have other Christians who are looking upon our work. And you know what they're going to see? They're waiting to see if you're going to hang in there,
yeah,
firm unto the end. They're looking to see if you're going to hold fast with confidence, with rejoicing, firm unto the end. And how shameful is it sometimes when Christians, they get off track?
Yeah.
You know, they get out of church, they stop reading their Bibles, they're no longer soul winning, they're no longer doing these things. What happens? They begin to mock, saying this person began to build and they were not able to finish.